All right, turn your Bibles with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 16, if you want to follow along. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. I want you to follow along. Today's sermon is going to be a simple one, but a very important one. Acts 16, starting in verse 27. And the keeper of the prison, awakened out of his sleep and seeing the prisoner doors have opened, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he cried for a light and sprang in, and he came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." The title of my sermon is Assurance. I want to preach on having assurance of your salvation. Right here in Acts 16, a man asked a simple question. He said clearly, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" Now you ask that, you go up to a Catholic and you ask him that and see what he would say to you. Ask a Buddhist. Ask a Hindu. All, no matter what answer they'll give you, it's all pointing to what you do in this life. But Paul gives a clear and direct response. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Salvation is not based on your performance or works, what you do or don't do. It's simply based on what Jesus did. Right here, clearly. Believe. Now, what does the word believe mean? Well, believe does not mean reformation. Believe does not mean surrender. Believe does not mean make Jesus the Lord of your life or invite him into your heart. Believe is a simple word. It comes from the word persuaded. Paul is telling this young jailer, if he's persuaded of what he heard, and of course, before this, they were singing songs and hymns about the finished work of Jesus. And he said to the jailer, if you simply are persuaded what Jesus did, you're saved. That's how easy salvation is. Turn your Bibles with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. And verse 24, I love this verse. John chapter 5, it barely says here clearly, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word," Jesus said. Verse 24, "and believeth on him that sent me hath," present tense, "everlasting life, and shall not come into the condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Salvation is simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe on him, and you shall pass from death unto life. See, the gospel is for sinners. Amen. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We're all guilty before God. Romans 3:10 says, "As is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none good." If going to heaven was based on how good we are, what we do or don't do, all of us today would be going to hell. The Bible says there's none good. Well, preacher, you know, if I'm a good person, I'll go to heaven. But the Bible says in Isaiah 64, it says, "All our works are as filthy rags in the sight of God." There's thousands of types of Christians and thousands of types of religions. But if you ask any other Christian, you ask any other religion, how do you go to heaven? And 99% of the time, they're going to tell you, be a good person. Live righteously. And what are they preaching to you? Satan's gospel. In Genesis 3:8, Satan said to Adam and Eve, "You can be like God if you ate of this tree of good and evil. If you live by right from wrong." It was self-justification. And now what you have in churches and institutional churches and box churches, even on VR chat, Christians on VR chat, and going around what they're preaching, Satan's gospel. They're not preaching God's gospel. They're not preaching the gospel of grace. Salvation's simple. It's not complicated. Go to John 3:16. We know this by heart. It's on, my dad had it out a couple nights ago, and it's on the cup, bottom of the cup, John 3:16. The gospel in one verse. "For God so loved the world," that's mankind, that's you and me, "that he gave us his only begotten son," that's Jesus, "who had no sin but became sin, so we can be made the righteousness of God in him. So that whosoever," that means anybody, gay, straight, trans, lesbian, dope addict, drug addict, murderer, a psychopath, the next Hitler, the next Jeffrey Dahmer, "whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the good news. It's a free gift. I'll tell you a story. I was about 2022. I had a church world, and it wasn't a big one or a fancy one. It was very small. But I had a cabin with all Bible verses, and I was talking to a furry, and he was there, and I was showing him the Romans Road, and I was showing him the gospel. And I got to the end of the conversation. He was in tears. And he said, "Preacher, I don't deserve this gift." I said, "Ain't that wonderful, though? It's a gift. None of us deserve it, but God wants us to have it. It's freely given." Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that none of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And he believed, and he got saved. I'll tell you another story. I think I told this one before. In our church world, we had before, it was me and Brother Slender. You guys don't know him. And we've been preaching to the gospel to this one guy for hours. And finally, he understood it. And he was breaking down in tears because he said, "You're telling me God will forgive me of all the things I've done?" And he confessed to me and Slender. He said, "I tried to kill my own grandmother." And he was breaking down in tears. And he's saying, "God's going to forgive me and forgive all my sins I've done and even my future sins." I said, "Yep. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4, verse 5, to him who worketh not, but believeth on him." And that young man there received Jesus as his Savior. And he's saved from hell. Romans 5:9, "Much more now being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." We don't have to fear a future judgment. We've been saved. Not by works which we have done, but by his mercy, by his grace. Now go to John chapter 6. But salvation, simple. You're saved immediately, permanently. The nanosecond you believe that Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again. You cannot lose your salvation. Anyone who says you can lose your salvation, the Bible says they're calling God a liar. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 10, it says this, "He that believeth on him has everlasting life, and he that has not life. And this is the record that God had gave of his son, that we have eternal life through his son." How long is eternal by definition? Everlasting, eternal, forever. And he says in 1 John 5, those who believe not, call God a liar, because they're denying the gift of eternal life. John chapter 6, later verse 35, Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger." Did he say, "Might hunger"? What did he say? "Never hunger." And it's talking spiritually. "And he that believeth on me shall never thirst." So did he say you might thirst again in the future? No, what did he say? "Shall never thirst." Let's continue reading. Verse 40. "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everybody which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life." And I'll raise him to the last day. Write that down. Mark that. What's the will of God? To believe on the Son. In Matthew chapter 7, the most scary verse in the Bible that many people say. But what in Matthew 7, you read it, let's read it, and I remember it by heart. "Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works? And I said, depart from me, I never knew you." But what did he say in verse above that? "Only he that does the will of my Father." And right here in John 6, 40, clear, what do we see? The will of the Father is to believe on the Son. Amen. And he says what? "And result of believing on the Son, you have what? Everlasting life." My friend, if all your sins are paid for, Jesus said, blessed is the man whom the Lord not impute sin. If all your sins are paid for, past, present, future, and you have eternal life, where will you go when you die? Heaven. John 3:16, "Whosoever believeth should not perish." It didn't say you will perish, as you will not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned." Salvation is simple. In John 6:47, it says here, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath," present tense, "everlasting life." How do you receive eternal life? By believing on the Son, by believing what Jesus did. But yet many Christians, you talk to them about this, they'll say, "No, that's too easy. No, that's just too simple, preacher. That's just too good." Well, ain't the gospel supposed to be good news? Ain't the gospel supposed to say good news? Ain't the gospel God's declaration of good news? Yeah, but yet many Christians, you ask them, and the more you talk to them, they're not trusting in the shed blood. Well, they're trusting in their own righteousness. Romans chapter 10 says in verse 3, it says, for they are ignorant of God's righteousness, and they're establishing their own righteousness, and they have not submitted to God's righteousness, which is what? Believing on the Son, who is the end of the law for righteousness. But they'll say, well, preach, what about sin? And the main focus is always about sin. The Bible is very clear about this. All have sinned. There's none good, no, not one. Paul says in Romans chapter 7, verse 18, for I know that is in me, that's in my flesh, dwell no good thing. Like it or not, all you do is sin. Your works are sin. Your righteousness is unrighteousness. Your holiness is unholiness. There's nothing good in your flesh. And yet, what are many Christians preaching today? Trying to perfect it. Trying to establish their own righteousness. Oh, no, it's all by grace, brother. They say it, but with their lips, they profess it, but they deny it. Romans 11, 6. If it's by grace, then it's no more of works. Salvation is not by faith and works. It's by grace, by faith alone. Paul says, if it's by grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. And he's saying this, if you add 1%, it could be 99% of grace. But if you add that tiny 1% to the grace of God, it's destroyed. No more grace. John chapter 7, turn there. I'm quoting a lot of John tonight. Why? John was written that you might believe, that you might have life. John chapter 7, Jesus speaking here, and I'll read it. Verse 38. Again, let's read this. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And of course, living water, I believe living water here refers to the Holy Spirit. You receive the Holy Spirit by believing. In John 4:10, Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, and he said to the woman at the well, if thou knewest the gift of God, what's the gift of God? Romans 6:23, eternal life. And would have asked of him, he shall give in you living water. He said, listen, this gift is free. You don't have to clean yourself up. You just got to receive it. Salvation is easy as walking through a door. Drinking a glass of water. It's easy. Just receive it by faith, just by believing what he did. Of course, in John chapter 8, next chapter, it says in verse 24, I said therefore unto you that you should die in your sins. If you believe not, I am he. You shall die in your sins. And of course, in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, according to the scriptures. And what's that referring to? Isaiah. He bore our sins in his own body. He was bruised for our iniquities. Talking about the finished redemptive work. And if you don't believe in he, you don't believe what he did, you will die in your sins, the Bible says. In Acts 26:18, Jesus is speaking. He said clearly, he says this, that the Gentiles will receive an inheritance and forgiveness of sins and are sanctified by faith that is in me. You are washed, you are justified, you are sanctified the moment you believe. That's the good news. The Bible says you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise unto the day of redemption. The day of redemption is the day we got glorified bodies at the rapture. And he says you're sealed for that long, forever. Because when you die, when you get raptured, you get the glorified body. You're sealed. You can't lose it. The seal cannot be undone. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came and upon and fell out of believers because they still didn't have their sins forgiven. But we, our sins are purged, the Bible says, past, present, and future. So the Holy Spirit can never leave us. In John 11, or John 10, Jesus said this in verse 28. He says clearly, he says in verse 28, he says, I give unto them eternal life. How long is eternal? Everlasting. And shall never perish. Never go to hell. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. No one can pluck you out, not me. Not yourself, not your feelings, not your emotions, not your lifestyle. Nothing can pluck you out. John 11:25, next chapter. In verse 25, I'm remembering this by memory, he says to Martha, if I don't butcher, he says to her, whosoever, I'm the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And then whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. But believest thou this? And Martha said, yes, Lord, I believe. What? She was saved. And that very nail a second. In John chapter 12, verse 46, again, Jesus said what? I come and light into the world, and that whosoever believeth on me shall not abide in darkness. You're no longer in darkness, brother. You're no longer dead in your sins, but you're made alive. You're quickened together with Christ. Your sins, past, present, future are gone, forgiven. You're in the light. You are the light. And then that's in the next two chapters, John 16, what did Jesus say? He said what? For the Father himself loveth you, because you love me, and have believed that I come out from God. Again, what is the requirement? Is it your lifestyle? Is it your works? It's faith. Without faith, you cannot please God. You're made righteous by faith, made holy by faith. I'm not talking about your behavior. I'm talking about who you are. You're righteous now. You're holy now because of Jesus. In John 20, 31, but these are written, Jesus said, or John says, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing you might have life through his name. Throughout the Gospel of John, over 99 times, when it comes to salvation, believe, 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 believe. What about repentance? What about repentance? The word repent, no, it's just the word, by the way, the word repent is never found in the Gospel of John, not once. Why? Because the ones who believe on Christ have repented. Repentance is not turning from sin. Repentance is not self-reformation. I hate repent of your sins. That's a false doctrine, straight from the devil's pit. Repentance is a change of mind. And the moment you trust Christ as your Savior, as your righteousness, you have repented. You change your mind from what? From unbelief to belief. Well, maybe some of you were trusting in your own works. You change your mind about that to trusting Christ alone. But you have repented. Some VTuber was watching our channel, and he's a Christian. And I tell you what, I hate most Christians in VR chat. Oh, how can you hate, preacher? David says in Psalms, he says, I hate every false way. I hate them with perfect hatred. Every time they come on here, they preach nothing but law and legalism and death. What they're preaching, Satan's gospel. They go into public lobbies, calling homosexuals F words and condemning them and saying, well, what they're doing is sin, sin, sin. But what does the Bible say in Genesis 3:8? If you eat of that tree of good and evil, you shall die. And their people are dying. They're dying. They're killing themselves in their conscience. That's what the tree of good and evil does. We're dead to that. But this one VTuber, by the way, was wearing a feminine avatar. If he, and by his own standards, he stands condemned because if you're going to live by the law, if you're going to live by the tree of good and evil, you have to live by it perfectly. Galatians 3:10. For as many of the works of the law under its curse. And he's basically said, well, salvation is submitting to Christ as Lord. You dirty bum. There's not one verse in the Bible from the Word of God that says you have to submit to Jesus as Lord to be saved. Not one. And by the way, Jesus already is Lord. He's already God. You can't declare him God. You can't make him God. He is God. But by his own standards, I mean, by his own beliefs of Lord, let me give you a couple of examples about David. Did David make Jesus the Lord of his life when he committed adultery and murder with Bathsheba? And murder? Was Jesus the Lord of David's life there? Or about how about Saul? Or what's his name? Lot. Well, Lot went down to Sodom and Gomorrah. Disobeyed Abraham. Went down to Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible says in 2 Peter 2, he was just and righteous, but he wasn't living like it. Was Lot submitting to Jesus as Lord then? No. By their own standards, they weren't. But again, Jesus as Lord is not making him Lord and submitting to him. Jesus already is God. But what they mean by submitting to him as Lord, it means cleaning up your life. Getting sin out of your life. What are they telling you? Again, living by what? The tree of good and evil. You dirty bums. And what they're preaching to the people is death. Killing people's conscience. Ain't no peace in religion. But lordship salvation is Satan's gospel. And anyone's preaching is under God's curse. Galatians 1:9, if any man preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. 2 Corinthians 11, Paul talks about how Satan ministers come in as ministers of righteousness. In the last days, people give heed to seducing spirits and doctrine of devils. What's the first doctrine of the devil? Genesis 3:8. See, the devil doesn't come out and say sin, sin, sin. The devil comes out and says, you better live righteous. You better live holy. People think the Antichrist will be someone who come out and say sin, 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 party it up. But the Antichrist will be a moralist. In 1 Timothy 4, it tells us in the last days, some will say, don't eat, don't touch, don't taste, don't marry. The Bible says in Genesis 3, the Satan's gospel was that he can be like God if you know right from wrong. Telling Adam and Eve they can be righteous, they can be holy, they can be sufficient if they just knew right from wrong, they live by that. And many people are living by that, living by their self-justification. But why did God give the law then? To turn what Satan did for good. To show everybody in the whole world that they're guilty by this knowledge. Romans 3:19. We know what the law says. It says when we're under the law that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world become guilty before God. And if you think you can live by the law and say, well, we should live by the law, then I'll tell you what, you don't hear the law, my friend. The law is it kills your conscience. It's supposed to kill you. We don't live by it. Law cannot produce love. It can't produce joy. You know what produces? Death. Chaos. Look at the world today. Right-wing politicians, who are the spawn of Satan, want to put the Ten Commandments in schools. Well, go ahead and see how that happened, because more murder, more killing will happen. The Ten Commandments, the Bible says in Romans 4:15, the law works wrath. In Hebrews chapter 7, it says the law perfects nothing. And Philippians 3:9, Paul calls the law a curse. So go ahead and put the law up in schools and see how many more school shootings and murdering and killings will happen. It's already happened enough when they're telling kids they come from animals and they're worthless and saying they're from monkeys. And when they hear that, they see life as meaningless and they go out there and kill each other. So go ahead and add the law in to make it worse. The Bible says the law stirs up sin, works wrath. And that's what Christianity is doing. Modern Christianity is Judaism. It's not from Jesus. It's Judaism. Getting you Gentiles to live by the law. That's why Paul rebuked Peter. Because men from James came down, Peter separated from the Gentiles and was giving us Gentiles a mixed message, saying that we have to keep the law in order to be right with God. And Paul says, I oppose him to his face because he was to be blamed. Because we know, as Paul says, we know that a man is justified not by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 10, Peter was preaching to the Gentiles, and he says to give all the prophets witness that through his name, Jesus' name, whosoever believeth shall receive remission of sins, forgiveness of sins. You won't find forgiveness in the law. You won't find forgiveness in works and religion, only in Jesus and his finished redemptive work. And the moment you believe the gospel, you're made righteous, made holy, and you're no longer under God's law. You're dead to it. Your sins are gone, past, present, future, forgiven, not reckoned, not imputed. And the Bible says, where there is no law, there's no transgression. And as a believer, you don't transgress God's law. You might think you do, but you don't. You're dead to the law. God's not reckoning, imputing sin to you because you believed on the Son. Now the whole world, who has not believed yet, John 16 says what? He convicts the world of sin because they believe not on him. Now you believe on him. He doesn't convict you of your sin. Your sins are gone. But the whole world's guilty. And I can't pronounce the Old Testament book's name, Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament, or the preacher. It says, God has put eternity within your heart. And we have been fulfilled, but unbelievers, they know it's in there. And they fill it with different things, different religion, different meditations, different stuff they do. But yet they know it's empty. Only God can fill that part of you up. To fill, put eternity within you, he put it in you, and he can only fill that cup up. And by faith in him, it's filled, amen. By faith in him, you're justified. Again, salvation is not a feeling. It's not emotion. It's not reformation. It is you recognizing that you're a sinner on your way to hell, and by placing your faith in Jesus, you're saved. That's it. What if I stop believing? You're still saved. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we believe not, he abide the faithful. King Solomon worshiped false gods and idols, and he was still saved. It's not based on your works. Well, if you're listening to this, you say, well, but, run from the butts, what over the ips, it doesn't matter. Whatever you say, yes, you're saved no matter what. God justifies sinners by his blood. I'm almost done here. But the spirit of Cain's out there. And Jude 1, it talks about people who gone the way of Cain. And when you read the Old Testament, what is Cain? What does he picture? He pictures people who are approaching God based on their works, based on what they do in this flesh, what they do in this lifetime. Cain killed Abel because Cain hated the way God justified Abel. And how was that? By his blood. Abel's sacrifice was a blood sacrifice, which was a picture of Christ. And Abel's faith was in that. And God declared Abel righteous. But Cain hated how God justifies you and me. And so he slew Abel. And there are many Cains out there today who hate grace and hate this message. And they come in as Christians. Oh yeah, brother, I believe in Jesus. Oh yeah, I believe. Amen, amen, amen. But when you talk to them, they have a false Jesus. They're trusting in their own righteousness. Their Jesus is a hard taskmaster. I don't know their Jesus. My Jesus was a friend of sinners. My Jesus increased the trespasses to bring the world guilty so he can set us free. And that's what he did on the cross. God was in Christ, reconciling us to himself, not imputing our trespasses. And he was raised from the dead. If you believe it, you're saved. That's it. I'm saved. Now what? Galatians 3:10 or verse 11. The just, the believer, shall live by faith. You're saved by faith and you live by faith. You don't go back to the law. You were justified apart from it. It couldn't save you, couldn't sanctify you, and it doesn't please God. It grieves God. The law was given to show you that you're guilty, my friend. And God wants you to see that you're no longer guilty. You're no longer under wrath. You're his child. You're loved and accepted because of what he did. Now, assurance of our salvation. Assurance is not based on when you remember when you believed. It's not based on what you do or don't do. Assurance of your salvation is based on what Jesus did on the cross. You're saved because at one moment in your life, you blew that message. That's it. That's it. I'll end with this. Go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. This is a simple message today. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 10. Highlight this. Remember this. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And of course, that's the witness of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is bearing witness with your spirit, not to you, but to the Father, that you're his child. He that believeth not on God hath made him a liar. Those who believe not on God and his promise. Because he that believeth not the record that God gave his son. What's the record? Verse 11. Read it. Right here. And this is the record. What's the record? That God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his son. Verse 13. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. You can have assurance today, my friend, that you're saved, and you're going to heaven when you die. Because it's not based on your works, your feelings, what you do or don't. It's based on what Jesus did. And you can have assurance today, not just that you're going to heaven, but God is pleased with you. And God is satisfied with you. Why? Because of Jesus. A lot of you already know this. But again, as a believer, you're now a sweet aroma of Christ. 2 Corinthians 2. What does that mean? Taste. When God looks at you, he sees Christ in you. He smells Christ in you. And he's pleased with you because of the burnt offering. That's what that pictures. God will never be disappointed in you. He's a perfect father. He's not disappointed. Actually, he spoils us. The Bible says we're heirs, not servants. Everything in this world serves us. We don't serve it. Food, drinks, video games. Right here, this serves me. I don't serve it. I enjoy it, amen. And I enjoy God, and I give thanks to God. Thank God for VRH. I like enjoying it. I do what I do in here. I don't just do preaching. I do other stuff too. But I'm free to do that. Adam, before Adam ate of the tree of evil, he had peace with God, and God had peace with him. Adam probably did things that was against the tree of good and evil. Remember, being naked was shameful. But God was comfortable with Adam in his nakedness. It was never God's design for him to know good and evil. It was Satan who enslaved us through that, through our conscience. Our conscience and God. Look at us. We make sin out of small things. Cigarettes. Gentiles make smoking into a sin because of their own conscience, Romans 2 says. Our conscience needs to be purged by the blood. We apply the blood. And he says, the worshiper shall have no more conscience of sins. God no longer relates to on your sin. Sin between you and God is a dead issue. Sin as a category is dead between you and God. God doesn't relate to on your sin anymore. He forgave you. Not just forgave you. He no longer sins, no longer imputes. You're no longer under the law, so you're not transgressing it. It's a dead issue. That's what Romans 6 is about. Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? Read verse 2. God forbid, how that you are dead to sin, live any longer therein. You cannot live in sin before God's eyes. You may do things in your today that's against true good and evil. Remember, God's not judging you by that anymore. He's already judged you at the cross 2,000 years ago. He judged your flesh already. He relates to you now on the basis of adoption. You're his child by faith. You've been adopted in his family. You know, you played Resident Evil 7? There's a scene there when Ethan was in the attic and Jack comes up, one of the main villains, and he punches him in the face and he says, "Welcome to the family, son." That's what God is saying to you. Welcome to the family. You're in God's family. You can't ever be cast out. You're pleasing to God because of what Jesus has done. It's all about Jesus. But what is religion doing? Making about you. What you do. But anyway, the gospel's simple. If you believe that Christ died and rose again, you're saved. That's it. Let's go ahead and pray. I'm going to play a song after this. I want you guys to listen to it. I love it. It's a really good song. Father, we thank you that we're saved because one day we believed that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and you raised him from the dead. That's it, Lord. That's why I'm saved. And anyone who believes that message is saved, regardless of their state and condition, that you are their righteousness, God, that you're their holiness, and they lack nothing. They're children, they're heirs, not servants. Sin's a dead issue between you and them. You're not counting their trespasses, not imputed to them. And that they're pleasing in all things. You're satisfied in all things that they do because you're pleased with Jesus, Lord, and you see them in Christ, and they're a sweet aroma of Christ. We thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.